Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
The Duke, how are you, mate? Good morning.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. Morning, everyone. We're in the thrust and the focus of the big Group 1 events being conducted around Australia. And this week, the Group 1 action heads to Albion Park for the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup, Cozzy.
Yeah, we're here there, and it looks like being a fantastic meeting.
It certainly does, and look, it's when you consider the fact that Andrea Daly, the trainer, and Paul Wheeler, or Team Wheeler, you know, in the space of 24 hours this week, they could add around about another $230,000 to their coffers, because Fernando Bale, as we reported last week, he will continue to race, and he raced last Wednesday night in the heats of the Ballarat Cup. He drawn box three in the final of that. And then they've got the favourite, Dinah Double One, who's the track record holder at Albion Park. He won his heat of the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup in emphatic style last Thursday night. So they're racing for $100,000 at Albion Park on Thursday night. And Fernando, well, he's got a bonus in store at Ballarat if he can win that race. And that'll be worth $110,000 to him. Massive money.
It's astonishing the way it amounts up.
Well, it is, and particularly when you look at these two greyhounds alone. In 2015, they've basically won $2 million in prize money between themselves.
That's incredible.
That's just two greyhounds out of the Wheeler Kennel and trained by the Dalys, of course. And people say, oh, yeah, well, Wheeler breeds this and Wheeler breeds this many dogs. The fact that he had four in a Melbourne Cup was amazing. The fact that he ran 1-2 in the Melbourne Cup was even more amazing. So, you know, again, it's not just the fact that you breed litters and you breed pups and the more you breed, the more winners you have. That certainly isn't the case. So, as I said, Fernando Bale on Wednesday night, last Wednesday night, he was absolutely dominant when he took out his heat of the Ballarat Cup. He was brilliant. He ran 24.87, a couple of lengths outside the track record there. The other heat winners were River Gum Drive for Kel Greeno in 25.15, Alpha Zeus for Jeff Britton in 25.28, Fernando in 24.87. Shared Equity defeated the Little Brother Shared Bonus, running 25.03, second fastest of the night, two lengths slower than Fernando Bale. Magic Spring, the 450-metre track record holder at Maitland, now prepared by Kel Greeno. Magic Spring ran 25.36 to win his heat. Ballerino for Joey Borg in 25.70. Unlawful Entry for Brett Bravo continues the great run that Kennel's having. He ran 25.21. And the last heat was taken out by Amaro Bale for Andrea Daly in 25.23. The box draw looks this way. Alpha Zeus in 1, Rivergum Drive 2. Fernando Bale has drawn box 3. Ballerino in 4, Unlawful Entry 5, Magic Spring 6, Amaro Bale 7, and Shared Equity in box 8. Tab.com.au fixed odds betting, Cozzy, on the Group 2 Ballarat Cup. Fernando Bale, $1.10. Shared Equity, next best in the market at $7.50. And then it is $14 about the six runner, which is Magic Spring. So again, Fernando Bale dominates. He's got slow beginners drawn either side of him. Rivergum Drive doesn't begin brilliantly. Ballerino, again, another greyhound that doesn't have that pace that he has to match it with Fernando Bale. Unlawful Entry in box 5. He'll run a straight line. So will Magic Spring. So I think the boys have got it pretty right. They're giving nothing away, but $1.10 about Fernando Bale. And again, if he wins that, it's $110,000.
Incredible.
To win a Group 2 Ballarat Cup. And I know that, you know, being a Victorian yourself, you would have seen a lot of Ballarat Cups. But again, the money that GRV is able to put into the industry, it's amazing. It leaves New South Wales for dead. I know they've got a better rate as far as, you know, their tax parity and the money that they get from the TAB is concerned. But, you know, you're talking about a Group 2 Country Cup here, Cozzy, with a bonus because he's already won two Group 2 events down in Victoria. He's racing for $110,000 in prize money. Certainly
is. Incredible, yeah.
Certainly is. We're going to talk to Tony Brett later in the program about the Brisbane Cup final. He's got Flash Reality back to his best. Of course, he won the Group 1 Winner Cup last year. Tony's had a number of problems with Flash Reality, but he won his heat last week. We'll also speak with Timmy Newbold about the Group 3 Summer Cup. The heats were held at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. Two heats were conducted. And that final will be staged this Saturday night at Wente. But yesterday, it was the second of the Richmond Riches puppy auction. And given the turmoil that the industry in New South Wales has faced, it was a day that people were looking forward to, but there was a lot of apprehension regarding whether or not the buyers would be out, whether or not the market would be there as far as the dollars were concerned with pups and that. And I'm pleased to say that I think the day was a success. Look, there's a lot of people that want to knock these auctions, Cossie, because of the amount of buybacks that happen. But, you know, that's a vendor's prerogative.
Yeah, they want to put them through. Yeah.
And look, you're not gonna breed a pup and rear a pup and get it to 7 or 8 months of age and have it sell for $1,500. And that's the biggest, you know, complaint, I guess, from a lot of people. They say, oh, well, it's an auction, they should be sold. Well, you're going to give away a house for $100,000 less than what its value is because someone doesn't want to pay you that money for it? No, you're not. So these people are entitled to buy their dogs back. They still pay the commission. That commission fee goes towards the pooling of money for the race series, which are held in conjunction with these auctions. And the Richmond Puppy Auction race series in 2017, look, it's got over $140,000 in prize money, and that is funded from people who put their dogs into the auction. And if they buy them back, they still pay the 11% commission. So I don't know what the problem is with people who say, oh, buybacks are the scourge of auctions, because what if their brother bought it back, or their sister or their mother or their wife? It doesn't matter. The money's still going back into the industry.
Yep.
And the feature race is worth $100,000 in 2017.
Well, you see it happen with the gallops as well. People put it in, buy them back.
Well, they pass them in and then they sell them after the sale. What's the difference? To me, I think it's just people looking for a gripe. And it is an auction. So the brother, the mother, the sister, the wife, they buy it back at the same price for $1,100. What's the difference? Anyway, I thought it was a terrific day. I know we've had a lot of feedback from a lot of people who have said the same thing. We eventually sold 273 lots. The gross was over $783,000 and an average of $3,128 per lot. The top lot was a dog, pup by Collision out of Double Twist, a former Greyhound of the Year. And it fetched $21,000. And yes, it was a buyback. But Peter Mattress, who put that greyhound into the auction, he had to pay over $2,100 in commission. It's 11%. So Peter had to pay around $2,300 in commission. So again, that money goes back into the pool. The gentleman who is now running the Richmond Greyhound Club, Brad Adam, joins us online now. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, gents.
Again, you know, the auctionist has said in that preamble there, Brad, a lot of people want to knock it as far as the buybacks are concerned. But if we don't have this auction, we don't have a feature race in 12 or 15 months' time worth $100,000 to the winner. And again, as said, the feedback we've had, the average price of $3,128 was an outstanding success, I thought.
Look, Mark, it certainly was an outstanding success. And first of all, what I do need to do is I need to thank all our contributors, our staff who donated, our committee who donated all their time, the breeders, the owners, the buyers. They all came together to make it a fantastic day. So first of all, I just wanted to thank all them. With regards to the buyback, what the auction does is it enables people to sell a pup with value added. And of course, then they also all go towards that $140,000 prize pool in 2017. So it is something that the greyhound industry is doing with the buybacks. But I agree with your comments in that if somebody wants to breed a pup and to rear it, then they should be entitled to be able to enter it into this sort of series and to reap some benefits from it.
Well, you know, I had a pup in the auction yesterday. If it got to the sort of money that I wanted for, I would have sold the pup, but it didn't. So, again, for me, I was happy to pay the 11% commission. The pup that I had fetched $4,200. I paid $460 in commission. As well as that, I have to pay two lots of nomination fees. So all up for me, I'm paying around $650. But you know what? I've now got a ticket in a lottery in which there are only 273 tickets, Cossie. Now, this is the point that I'm making. I've got a 1 in 273 chance of winning a race worth $100,000. No other people can nominate their dogs if they weren't sold through the auction. I am happy. I am stoked to pay $462 in commission fees to enable myself to have that ticket in a 1 in 280 chance lottery to win a $100,000 race. So, I just don't get what the argument as far as the buybacks are concerned. As I said, I drive past plenty of houses that I think they'd be great value for $300,000. People aren't going to sell it to me. What's the difference? Anyway, that's enough of my bugbear. Brad, seriously, it does. It really irks me when the knockers come out in force and want to knock a club like Richmond for getting off their backsides when other clubs are very quick to drop their auctions. Richmond have continued on and will continue on into the future with this. Brad, as far as the future of the auction, as far as the future of the club is concerned, this is a permanent fixture now, isn't it?
It certainly is, Mark. And look, obviously this year was my first year sort of taking over the reins from what Wayne Billett has set up. And it should be noted that Wayne Billett has driven this and brought it to where it was yesterday. And what I need to do is take it forward for tomorrow. So during this week, what I'm going to do is we'll be sitting down with all our stakeholders, gathering all their feedback and responses from how this auction was run. And then what I'll be doing with them in mind will be then planning how we can take this forward and to make Richmond a premium sale that is a regular on the calendar.
Look, I think the other thing that also needs to, again, this is not a love session, but Richmond need to be commended, and Wayne Billett put this in place. They put their hands in their pocket and they paid Sky Racing a substantial amount of money to have an advertising campaign. Not only that, we broadcast live yesterday from the auction from 9 a.m. right through until about 3:30, 4 o'clock when the auction wrapped up. For the first 3.5 hours on Sky Racing 2 yesterday, there was nothing apart from that auction being broadcast. So we had 3.5 hours to broadcast the auction to show the people who are watching Sky Racing exactly how affordable it is to buy a pups. There are a number of pups there sold and or bought back from $1,100 and $1,500. There are a number of pups sold. I know that Frankie Gatt and Mark Gatt, they sold a lot of their Ritz or Elsie pups for around that $6,000 or $7,000. So the publicity that the auction and also the industry in what has been, as we all know, a tumultuous year, the publicity that the greyhound racing industry got yesterday through that coverage on Sky Racing 2, the club must have been delighted with that, Brad.
Yeah, look, Mark, we absolutely were, and we've got to thank yourself and Dave Carlson and the support of Sky Racing for enabling us to showcase the auction. And I think what it has done is the auction was such a success for us yesterday. I think it's shown the industry that it's shown people that the industry is strong and that we're here to stay.
And that's what we need. We need solidarity. We need support. And again, I want to tip my hat to Clint Bentley, Greg Hoare, Simon from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. They were out there yesterday. They check all the pups to make sure the ear brands correspond and make sure the right pups are delivered. It would have been nice, I thought, if I know Wayne was there, and he's now Wayne Bill is the manager of strategic reform at GRNSW. Would have been nice, I think, just to have seen maybe a couple of the senior management of Greyhound Racing New South Wales in attendance at the Richmond Puppy Auction yesterday at a day where there were a number of participants there. Just would have been nice if they had have made that effort to get out there. Maybe they had other things on, Brad.
Maybe they did. Look, it's something that we'll definitely put on the agenda and we will be raising it with them. I know Wayne had already raised it with them. It's a great platform for them to come out and to meet, see the people, and to actually get their views across and to hear the views of our participants. And it would have been a great opportunity for them to take that on board.
Notwithstanding that, as I said, the gross of $783,000, compare it with other auctions that have been run previously, the gross of this auction stacks up considerably, an average of $3,128. It also stacks up very favourably. I know last year we had a sensational auction where we grossed $1.4 million and a $4,100 average. But again, as we've said, the landscape of greyhound racing in November 2014 is considerably different to what we have today. So again, I think the club's done a great job, but you're right. Hats off to the vendors, hats off to the purchasers as well. They are what makes this auction the success that it is. And we look forward now to the first of the Richmond Riches race series being conducted in May next year. That was for the pups sold at the auction last year, and then moving forward in 2017.
Yeah, look, we certainly are. And next year with our first race series underway, all stations forward to that now, and we'll start our planning for that to make that a bigger and better evening than we've ever had out here. And of course, everything's now just going in place to set the platform for us going forward.
Well done, mate, and we look forward to speaking to you in the future.
Thanks for your support, and we'll talk soon.
Brad Adam there, Cozzy, from the Richmond Greyhound Racing Club. And as I said, I don't know what people in the industry want if they don't consider that to be a success. It's got me bedazzled, actually, because I just, or bamboozled is probably a better word, because, I mean, if Richmond don't run that auction, I don't have a ticket in the lottery where there's only 280 and a chance to win $100,000. I'm happy to pay that commission fee.
Yeah, exactly right. As you said, if you could have got the price for the dog, you would have sold him.
It's exactly right, mate. Exactly right. Now, listen, Thursday night at Albion Park, it is the final of the Group 1 Sky Racing Brisbane Cup, a race worth $100,000 to the winner. We had heats run last Thursday night. Chatsworthy for Sandra Hunt won the first heat in 29.82. Fantastic Spiral, the Group 1 Dapto Megastar winner. He went to Albion Park. He scored in 30 and 14. Flash Reality for Tony Brett ran 29.98. Cervello for Peter Rucci ran 30 even. Old Spice for Terry Priest. Great story about this greyhound getting into a Group 1 race at Brisbane this week. He ran 29.76 and he was very impressive. But without a doubt, the most impressive winner was Dino Double One, the track record holder. He ran 29.53 and he has set himself up as the favourite for the Group 1 Brisbane Cup to be held this Thursday night. The box draw has Chatsworthy in 1, Old Spice 2, Fantastic Spiral 3. Dino Double One has drawn box 4. He's a $1.45 favourite. From box number 5, Cervello's at $61. Flash Reality is a $2.80 chance from box 6 and second pick in the market. From box 7 is Simpatico, $26. And Cindy's Magic has drawn the extreme outside, and Cindy's Magic is $41. Joining us online now, from the beautiful Sunshine State, is leading trainer Tony Brett. Good morning, Tone.
Morning, Duke. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. You have done a sensational job with Flash Reality to getting back, A, getting back to the track, but B, getting back into a Group 1 final where he is an absolute live chance from box 6. Tell us some of the problems you've had with this dog in the past 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, Duke, it sort of makes training dogs worthwhile when you get a dog like Flash back and get him into a race. He, mate, nothing major, but he's always had a dicky wrist that we continually work on. And after Dapto, he did the ligaments in the other wrist, and then he goes back further. He's had a cracked hock, so it, mate, really 2015 hasn't been a great year for him, but I just sort of never give up, and I knew he had something a bit more in him, and I didn't want to send him out and retire him on a downer, so to speak. So I said to Brad, "Give me one more go, and we'll see what we can do." And mate, here we are. He's got a track record, and made a Group 1 final, so I couldn't be happier.
And that track record came at Ipswich, 2 starts back. He ran 24.59, and I know that track record gave you a lot of enjoyment, because I think, if I'm right in saying this, you've actually prepared the last 3 track record holders over the 4.31 at Ipswich. Is that correct?
Yeah, Duke. Yeah, we had a dog called Ruffett, and he held it. And before that, it like the old record was about 8 or 9 years old. It's sort of one of the harder track records to break. And he broke it, and then a little bitch I trained called Jetta's Girl, she came out and broke it about 4 years ago, and she's held it ever since then. And mate, Tebow, I had he equaled it in a trial, and then Flash took a length off it last week. So it sort of gives you a bit of an idea just how hard a record it is. So it surprised me a bit. I probably didn't think he had the petrol in the old legs, so to speak. But mate, he's just jumping out of his skin. It's a true testament to what a good dog he is.
And you say that because he is rising 4 years of age. He turns 4 on the 17th of December. Tony, the older the dogs get, obviously it's tougher to get them back to anywhere what they were at, say, 2.5 years of age. I mean, we're talking 18 months, and 18 months in a greyhound's career is a long time. What is it as a trainer you do? How do you manage these greyhounds to get them to perform at their best when they're still rising, as I say, 4 years of age in the case of Flash Reality?
Yeah, mate, firstly, you've got to have the dog who can do it. I mean, he's just got a great temperament and loves racing, and that's half the battle. When you find out as dogs get older and a bit smarter and injuries and things don't go their way, it's harder to keep them switched on. But the likes of him and Kibo and Glenn Gallen, like, mate, they're as keen as they are at 4 years old as they were at 18 months old. It's just unreal. And, mate, you've just got to baby him along a little bit. Injuries take a bit longer to heal. And then a big part of it is just placing them, trying to, when they're coming back from injuries, they're running into free-for-alls, best eights, or heats of group races. So there's no really easy race back. And that was a bit of the thing with going to Ipswich. I just hoped he could get a bit of an easier field and a nice run back in, and confidence is at sky high, and the hardest bit was getting through the heat last week, and this week he's ready to go.
It was his first 500 for a couple of months last Thursday night. He led throughout and beat Inspector Cloud. He ran 29.98. We know he can go much faster on the clock at Albion Park, where he's a Group 1 winner. You've drawn box six in the final. Unfortunately, you're also up against a greyhound that can certainly get along in the shape of the track record holder, Dinah Double One, who came off a win in the Group 1 Melbourne Cup, and he was brilliant last week, running best of the night. He's drawn box four, Tone. I guess you're hoping for luck at the box rise.
Oh, mate, it just he's got to ping out. I was up against it a couple of years ago with Glenn Gallen. He had the six in the race, and up against Dynatrong and Spring Gun, and same thing. We weren't considered a hope, and mate, the old boy bounced out and was a half a length in front of the finishing post. So that's going to be this fella's go as well. If he can really time the start and get a nice clear run, anything can happen then.
Best of luck on Thursday night. I know it would give you, and also the Ellis family. Brad Ellis, of course, is the general manager of Grafton Greyhound Club. His mum, Marlene, owns Flash Reality. I know it would give them, as well as you, a tremendous thrill to win another Group 1 event with this greyhound.
Oh, for sure, mate. Everything with the boys is a bonus sort of thing. He's done plenty for them, the dogs, and took them on a ride that they probably never thought they'd get to. So anything from here on in and making these sort of races is just a buzz. And as I said, he's got a track record which will stand for a fair while, I'd say. And so, no, mate, they're great owners. They just enjoy it, and that's what dog racing's all about.
Best of luck, Tone. I'll see you on Thursday night. I'll be live trackside for Sky Racing 1, mate.
Pleasure, mate. Look forward to it.
Tony Brett there, Cozzy, with Flash Reality. And again, if you look at Tony's record with managing those older dogs, Kibo has just recently retired, but he was still going around in Group 1 events and he was still being competitive. And Flash Reality, rising 4 years of age in the middle of December, and he's there and he's a live chance in this Group 1 Brisbane Cup final. It's a tough ask for trainers, a very tough ask for the dogs when they're taking on, you know, greyhounds that are considerably younger than them. But trainers like Tony Brett, that's why they are the best in Australia. And talking about the best in Australia, one of the best race callers in Australia, Timmy Newbold joins us now. Morning, mate.
Morning, Duke. I'll have to send 50 in.
50, it's now 100. Hey, it was a bad weekend on the punt. Listen, we had two heats of the Group 3 Summer Cup staged at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. Serena Nimbus for Nev Brown. It was impressive, running 42.27, running down Ada Mary in the very last stride.
Yeah, she was. I thought early on in her career, Duke, she was going to develop into a group stayer. And you've got to say she has been disappointing in her career, but I know she has had niggling injuries, and Neville Brown has had to take his time with her to get her right. And I think she's now coming into what we thought she might have got to early on in her career, just with maturity. She began well. She initially led, but was headed off by the pace, the Ada Mary, but she stuck with that greyhound all the way through, and she knuckled down at the end, and she was just a little too strong for Ada Mary over the latter stages. And she's come up with the pole position on Saturday night. She was heavily backed by the team on Saturday night.
They do like to have a bet, don't they?
They do, Neville Brown and the team, and they bet double figures. So I'd say the camp has walked away with plenty of cash in the kick. And look, I think she'll be hard in the market on Saturday night after coming up with the inside alley, because she is a hard railer, and I can see her being right in the mix for a very long way. So I think she might, just that little bit of maturity now, she might be able to develop into a genuine group stage.
Shoulders for Anthony as a party. Eventually won another decent race for him. I spoke to Ann a couple of weeks ago. He said he was so frustrated with this greyhound, but he got the race to suit on Saturday night. He bounced out in front. He got on the bunny, and he was just too good, running 42.47. The effort of Burbsky Fever to run fourth and qualify again. I know she's a Group 1 winner, and I've said it here on the program before. There's just that X factor about her. She reminds me a little bit of Sweetie. She drops out, gets into trouble, weaves the way through. Her run was absolutely terrific, taking nothing away from Shoulders, who took out the event.
First of all, on Bursky Fever, yeah, she found trouble 3 or 4 times during the run. I think at one stage she was probably 30 lengths from Shoulders, midway down the back straight.
Yep.
In
yep.
the end, she ran fourth. She was just lucky to qualify. She got beat 8 lengths. As I think you're right as far as saying you're comparing her racing style to a sweet it is. She's got an unbelievable finish. It was a terrific run, but she does need a little bit of luck in running. But Saturday night's final, she might get that luck because there are a lot, 3 or 4 genuine speedy runners in the race, and they're going to really break the field up. So she might get a great little track into it mid-race on Saturday night. I still think she'll start favourite in the race. She did win the Group 1 Bold Trees, and we know what she's capable of. Talking of Shoulders, you can't take anything away from him. As you said, straight to the lead, and he just ran his rivals into the ground. He's got plenty of scope for improvement as well because it was only his second 700-metre race. So I think he can improve a couple of tenths at least, getting third run over the 700 metres. He's drawn to punch up and lead again. And if he does lead, he's likely to have greyhounds like Ada Mary and Serena Nimbus sitting right on his hammer. I don't think they'll be able to run him down if he's able to improve a couple of lengths. And Anthony Asapati has done a great job with this guy because he made the Group 1 Maturity,
yep.
Group 1 Dapto Megastar in 2014. He contested this year's Paws of Thunder back in January. I remember calling him when he won his maiden at Dapto on the big maiden series back in March last year. And I've got to say, Duke, there's no way in the world I would have said he would have ever got over 720 metres. He's not bred to. And early on in his career, he was a brilliant beginner with high speed. I didn't think he'd get over 700, but geez, I think he might be able to develop into a group stayer too if he just continues to improve with fitness under his belt and a little bit of maturity over the 700 metres.
I know some of the times this dog's trial, because I've spoken to Anthony about it, and the times are absolutely frightening. I'm talking, you know, around 30 seconds at Richmond. So it's no surprise. As I said, he's been a very frustrating dog for him, for Anthony Asapati. Serena Nimbus has drawn box one in the final, in the Summer Cup final. It's a Group 3 event worth $25,000 to the winner. From box two, it's Zipping Echo. Shoulders in 3, Ada Mary 4, Burbsky Fever in box 5, It's a Bird in 6, Wildfire in 7, and Luna Jinx, Group 1 winner. She is in box number 8. I need a tip from the final for you, mate.
Oh, I've got to go with Burbsky Fever just because I think the race is going to be run to suit her. I think Shoulders, Serena Nimbus, Ada Mary, all cutting at each other up in the lead. She might be able to track into midfield, mid-race, and her finishing burst is as good as any greyhound in the country. But just depending on the price, Duke, it'll be interesting, the market, which will go up, I would imagine, in the next 24 to 48 hours. But at this stage, Burbsky Fever on top.
Good calling, mate.
Thanks, Duke.
Timmy Newbowl there, Cozzy. We've also got the Dapto Puppy Auction. The final for that classic race will be held this Thursday night. The Group 1 Brisbane Cup is held this Thursday night. The Ballarat Cup, the Group 2 Ballarat Cup with Fernando Bale on Friday night. And then the Group 3 Summer Cup will be held on Saturday night at Wentworth Park. And once again, we say it every week, a big week coming up in greyhound racing.
Huge prize money coming up every week too.
Oh, we don't. We really don't get a break right throughout the year. We, from the back of the Brisbane Cup, we go to Tasmania for heats of Australia's oldest classic greyhound race, which is the Hobart 1000. The final from that will be held on December the 17th. Off the back of that, it's the Sale Cup, Group 1 Sale Cup for the middle distance stayers over 650 metres. The box draw for that, race is held on Boxing Day. And then off the back of that, our first Group 1 of 2016 is the Group 1 Silver Chief at the Meadows. That's held on January the 3rd. So again, the Group 1 events, we've got more than 30 of them being staged throughout Australia each year. And the money involved in the sport now is terrific. We speak about it every single week. But again, that's just the state of the nation, and it will continue to grow, hopefully.
Terrific. Good on you. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Cozzy.